Turn please to Luke chapter 8, that passage that I read earlier. And what I'd like to do this morning is look at the first part, verses 22 to 26, which of course is the stilling of the storm. And then this evening, to look at the deliverance of this man that was possessed by a legion of devils. So the first sermon is on this passage is verses 20 through to 26. And it's a demonstration. It's a demonstration of the and a manifestation of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in particular the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over the natural world. Indeed, it shows to us, does it not, that he, the Lord Jesus Christ, is indeed the almighty ruler over the forces of nature. Now, according to the account that we would read, if we were to read it in Mark's Gospel, it is now towards the evening of the day. And the Lord Jesus Christ has had a very, very busy day. Extremely busy. He has spoken to many people. He has taught many people. He has no doubt healed many people. He has no doubt delivered many people from possession of one form or another. And now he addresses his disciples and he desires to take sail in a boat. It tells us in Luke's Gospel, when it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples and he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. And of course, the reason that the Lord Jesus Christ wants to go to the other side of the lake is what we're here about this evening. It wasn't just a pleasant sail at the end of the day for relaxation purposes. The Lord had a purpose, obviously, while they were on the lake with the disciples. But he also was going to a certain place to minister to a certain man. And that, of course, as I say, will be the subject, God willing, of tonight or this evening's ministry. But you notice it's the Lord Jesus Christ that's in control. You know, the disciple, let us go over to the other side. The Lord knows where he's going. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what he has done. And so he is in absolute control. And he takes that. Let us cross over. And of course the disciples, many of them as you know, were fishermen. So they would be they would have no problem whatsoever in launching a boat and setting up the sail or whatever they do. They get the rowing boat, the oars out and so on and so forth and start off. And because the Lord Jesus Christ, he must be on these waters. And of course, while he is in the boat and while he is on the water, he will carry out an outstanding miracle. And in doing so, he is seeking, as ever, to strengthen the faith of his disciples. And of course, when they reach land, he will then go on to restore a man possessed by evil spirits. Now we know the Lord Jesus Christ is very God, but he is also very man. Perfect God and perfect man. But in that his perfect man, he's also human. And so he's tired. You know what it's like to be tired at the end of a long day, if you've been at work all day or if you've been doing something all day. And sometimes the evening comes and you feel absolutely shattered. All you want to do is put your feet up, have a relax, watch some th- something, maybe, or read a book, or whatever it may be. Listen to some music, who knows? Not for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a ministry to do. But he is tired. And of course, he takes the opportunity to have a rest. And it says that as soon as they sailed, almost straight away, it says he fell asleep. And he's there. Seems that he fell asleep straight away. What a blessing that is if you can do that. Fall asleep straight away. And also not wake up in the night as well, but that's another issue. But what a blessing it is. And you know, is it the end of Psalm 4, isn't it? I always used to say this to people who told me they couldn't sleep at night. And I think it's Psalm 4. Yes, Psalm 4, verse 8. I will lay down in peace and sleep. Why is that? Not because I've taken a sleeping pill. Not because I don't worry about things. No, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And if you have trouble getting off to sleep at night, meditate on Psalm 4 and verse 8. And remember, the Lord doesn't sleep. The Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. Watches over us through the night, and even if we have a little 5 minutes in the afternoon as well. But of course, in a sense, this falling, it just shows how tired the Lord was. He was human as well as God. And of course, they become some distance from the shore. And suddenly, we're told here, there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. There is some distance from the shore. And suddenly, a storm of wind comes upon the lake. Another word that could be used for that word storm is tempest. So it gives you some idea of how strong or how wild this storm was. And it can be, so I'm told, these storms or tempests can be a special characteristic of the Sea of Galilee. The lake, or the Sea of Galilee rather, is surrounded by hills. And sometimes storms can unexpectedly arise, especially from the eastern side. You know what it's like, certain areas do get certain weather, don't they? If you are fortunate enough to live in Eastbourne, you will know that we don't get the rain and the other problems that many other people get, because we're protected by the South Downs. And there's an old saying that if the storm gets in, it stays. But most of them go around. And that's because of the way Eastbourne is situated regards to South Downs. And it would probably be a similar thing with the Sea of Galilee, surrounded by these hills. And suddenly this unexpected storm can arise. But this, of course, is quite a special one. It's a storm filled with furious gusts. And in Matthew's account of this particular incident, it's described as a great shaking or a sea quake. I don't know if you've ever been in that sort of situation. Many, many years ago, I remember, and it was a long time ago, crossing from Lerwick, which is in Shetland, to Aberdeen in a force 8 gale. And it was awful, up and down, up and down. And I mean, we were in no danger of sinking, just feeling rather ill. But of course, remember, they're not in a modern boat. They're in a rowing boat, a sailing boat. And so the water's coming in. It's coming into the boat. And obviously, they're going to have to bail it out, aren't they? As I say, it's described as a great shaking or sea quake. Now, I suppose one could answer a question. Why at this particular moment is this sudden storm upon them? Who instigated it? Why not the Lord himself? He has made use of physical forces of nature for his own purposes in the past, and he could do again. Because remember, the laws of nature are his laws. And the boat, and of course the thing is there, he's going to teach the disciples a lesson. And the boat becomes waterlogged. It says that they were filled with water. You can imagine the panic. They're filled with, these are experienced men who have been at sea most of their lives, most of them. And they, if they're panicking, you can imagine it must be in a serious thing, because it doesn't, don't you say it's filled. And they were in jeopardy. And no doubt these disciples, they're frantically bailing out the boat, you know, using whatever they got to chuck the water back into the sea. And what we have to say is, humanly speaking, they were in great danger. As I say, remember as well that some of these disciples were experienced fishermen. They would have experienced storms before. And they were doing, the disciples were doing all they could. It wasn't much, perhaps, but they were doing what they could. They were trying to get the water out. They were trying to keep the boat as steady as they could. And whatever you undoes to do all that. But it all seems to be in vain. The more water they chuck out, the more seems to come in. And there's no abatement of the winds, and the waves are up and down and so on and so forth. They are in real danger. They are threatened by what could happen if the boat overturned in this raging sea. And of course, the amazing thing is, to them at least, the Lord Jesus Christ continues to sleep. It says, verse 24, and they came to him and awoke him. Master, Master, we perish. The Lord Jesus Christ, of course, knows exactly what will have happened, what is happening, and what will happen. And he is sleeping through the storm. He's woken up by his disciples. And they are in absolute and utter despair. And I imagine the way that they woke the Lord up was not some gentle touch on the shoulder. It was real panic stuff. Lord, Lord, we are in danger. Master, Master, we perish. You know, they are in absolute despair. And that's what they say. We're going to perish. And they've woken the Lord up. And in Mark's it says, Master, they say, don't you care? Amazing, isn't it? These men had been with the Lord, seen him do the miracles, heard his teaching, and there they say to him, don't you care? Lord, save us. It's very tempting, isn't it? When things go wrong in life, to blame the Lord. Where were you, Lord, when this happened? Do you not care? But he does, doesn't he? And we must be never, ever tempted to ever even think of something like saying to the Lord, don't you care? Because basically what the disciples have got are words of reproach. It's not a request, Lord, you know, save us, Lord. It's reproach. Lord, don't you care? When someone says that to you, that's what it means, doesn't it? It's reproach. Something's going wrong. Don't you care what's going wrong? But of course, the Lord knows exactly what's going on, doesn't he? Then he, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes it. He rebukes the wind and all becomes calm. And that word in here, in rebuke, it means peace. Be still. And notice how the effective way that the Lord Jesus Christ exerts his authority. Both the winds and the waves quiet and down together. It's not one and then the other. They are both quietened together. And the surface of the lake suddenly becomes as still as a mill pond. Still as can be. And someone said this: no waters can swallow the ship where the master of oceans, earth, and skies lies. No waters can swallow the ship where the master of oceans, earth, and skies lies. Someone said this, and it's very true. Sight, sense, and feeling make people very poor theologians. Remember King, well, you won't remember, yes, I'm sure you've read of King Canute, back in whatever century it was, 8th or 9th or something like that. King, I think he was King of England. And supposedly, is it Bosham or Bosham? I don't know how the correct pronunciation is, but Bosham seems good enough to me, because in Hampshire it's Cosham. But anyway, what did he try and do? He sat there on his throne, or whatever it was, and he tried to stop the tide coming in. And all he did was get his feet wet. You see, he couldn't do anything. He couldn't stop, and he was, I suppose, one of the most powerful men in England at that time. Whereas the Lord Jesus Christ, with a word, controls the winds, he controls the waves, just with an instant word. And of course, he then turns to the disciples. And he asks them a question, doesn't he? What a devastating question to ask them. Where is your faith? In other words, you've got power to believe, but you don't exercise it. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, we read this: and he said unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? So he's not only asking, where is your faith, but where's that little faith even? And the Lord Jesus Christ is concerned about their unbelief. And we need to be those who keep on our guard. We need to be those who use what we have been given and not keep looking for more faith. It's so easy to say, if only I had more faith. You know, if the one you've got isn't capable of dealing with your situation, you haven't got much of a faith in the first place. You go to the doctor. You have faith that he can cure you. Otherwise, you wouldn't go. You put your car in for its MOT. You've got faith in the mechanic. He knows what he's doing. So when he gives you the MOT, you believe that your car's okay. In so many ways, the chairs you're sitting on, you've got the faith they're not going to collapse. Otherwise, if you did, you'd all stand up. Or at least those that thought the chairs were going to go. We exercise faith in all manner. And we just take it for granted. But what about when it comes to our Christian faith? And it's so easy, isn't it? Oh, if only I had so-and-so's faith. If only I could be like so-and-so. But you don't know what so-and-so is really like when they're on their own. We need to go to the Lord. We need to go to the Lord and ask him to encourage us and to use us in our faith. And it's amazing then, with his grace and help, what we can do. Instead of going on about what we can't do. How could, honestly, do you think, how could those disciples have feared that they would perish with the Lord in the boat? Do you really think that God, who has saved you, if you are saved, is going to let you cast off adrift? That on that day when you die, he's going to say, no, I'm sorry. Isn't it one of the blessings of being a Christian that we know that when our eyelids close in death, what do we see the first thing on the other side? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's a wonderful biblical truth. And faith gives that to us. It comes from the God. We can't work it up. It's the Lord that enables us. But how could they fear that they would perish with the Lord in the boat? And yet, are we not like them sometimes? Do we not cry perhaps to the world more sometimes than the Lord when we're in trouble? Even though the Lord Jesus Christ was asleep, he is still Almighty God. And remember this, whatever you're going through, whatever you may have to go through, Jesus is still Almighty God, and he'll go with it through you. He is still the Almighty God, and he is still the one who cares for his people. But of course, the disciples, they look absolutely, well, they're both amazed. And at the same time, you could say they were almost terror-stricken. And they, that's the disciples, being afraid, wonder, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commands, or commandeth, even the winds and the water, and they obey him. They're amazed that the Lord Jesus Christ, in a word, can still this storm, the winds and the waves. And a word, just one word, the surface of the water becomes so calm and so peaceful. The disciples had been so frightened by the storm. And now they're filled with fear, having witnessed the Lord Jesus Christ still the storm. You see, it's impossible, isn't it, for the church of Christ to ever be destroyed. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Think of all the various revolutions that have tried to destroy the church in wherever it was, the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, parts of the world today where to be a Christian is illegal. But it doesn't happen because nothing and no one can destroy what the Lord creates in that in this church. The boat just cannot go down with the Lord Jesus Christ on board. Could you imagine that boat sinking with the Lord on board? And yet I wonder if we'd have been in that boat with him, I expect we'd have had the same reaction as the disciples. Because what, when push comes to shove, it is so easy to show lack of faith, isn't it? When Christ's in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. I know it's a children's chorus, but sometimes it's sometimes good to read these old choruses, you know. It's true, isn't it? When Christ's in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. When Christ is in your life, you can cope with the dangers and the problems that come in a different way. You see, these disciples were not just suddenly thrust into this situation in this boat. They had seen the Lord exercise his authority. They had seen the way he had controlled crowds, how he had healed sicknesses, how he had delivered people from demons, how he had raised people from death. Remember, they'd witnessed the widow of Nain's son. Hey, the Lord just touched the coffin or the bier and got the chap sat up. They'd seen that. And now they've seen him have control over the elements of nature. And what do they say? Who is this? What manner of man is this? The answer is not given. But when we read in verse 28, when the Lord Jesus Christ arrives in the country of the Gadarenes, there's the answer. And it comes from a demon, believe it or not, or demons. Jesus, thou Son of God. That's the answer to the question that the disciples raise in verse 25. What manner of man is this? And the answer is, Jesus, thou Son of God. They carry on. They carry on with their journey. It's a much more calmer thing there. I expect they're all relieved and they're doing whatever they're doing, rowing or sailing, whatever, to this country of the Gadarenes. And they arrive. Now, we always arrive if Christ is on board. And that's really what I want to remind us as we finish this morning. That life is full of ups and downs. Life can be full of problems. Life can be full of pain. Life can be full of sickness. We can be full of grief. Full of all sorts of things. And the world has its ways of dealing with it. But we have a supreme way of dealing with it. Because we have Christ. Now just imagine, not a boat now, just imagine your life. Your life with Christ on board, in your life. And the problems and situations that are going to come, the ones that maybe we're going through at the moment. He's there. He's with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And unlike people, we can trust the Lord Jesus Christ implicitly. There is no evidence or no situation ever where the Lord Jesus Christ has ever let anyone down. And there is nobody in the history of the church who has set sail with the Lord Jesus Christ in salvation who hasn't or will not arrive in heaven, because we are absolutely safe and secure in Christ. Let's just pray together for a moment. Our dear gracious Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful blessing of assurance. We thank you, Lord, for that wonderful doctrinal truth of the perseverance of the saints. We thank you, Lord, it's not the way that we are, the way that we keep ourselves, but, Lord, the way that you keep us. That nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is ours in Christ Jesus. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this wonderful message of the gospel. Thank you, Lord, that when Christ is in our lives, when Christ is in the boat, we will arrive one day at your appointed time at our heavenly destination. And through all the ups and downs of life between now and then, you will take us through. And that you will indeed still the raging seas and winds in our lives that trouble our souls, that you will give us your rest and your peace. And so, Lord, may we comfort one another with these wonderful truths, for we ask this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.